Amen. Thank you for that choir. That helped me. Praise God. That stirred me up. If I don't crank your tractor, your battery's dead, man. That's good. That song to me speaks of faith and confidence. Amen. I'm very sure my anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We on Christ, the solid rock. We are standing. Praise God. Can't nothing move the rock of Christ. Amen. This world might be falling apart, buddy, but we are standing on a sure foundation. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for that, choir. That was a blessing. That stirred my heart. Praise the Lord. All right. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. We're breaking from our study and preaching through Ephesians tonight to give you a thought that the Lord put on my heart and kind of stirred my heart today on. And I pray that it will be a blessing and help to you. Now, it's the Word of God, so it will. And so if we'll receive it. And so let's look here in Numbers 21. And this is really a very, very simple thought. And I'm going to deal tonight briefly with something that is inevitable in all of our lives. Something that we all will, something we all no doubt have dealt with. And if you're not dealing with this now, you're going to. And so look in Numbers chapter 21 and look in verse number 1. We're going to read the first four verses here and again give you a few thoughts out of verse number 4. So Numbers 21, verse number 1, it says, "And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. The Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah." What we see here in these first three verses, now at this point, Israel, God's people, are traveling on their way to the Promised Land. And like many different times, they encountered some opposition, and they encountered this king, the Bible calls King Arad, the Canaanite, who heard that they were coming, heard that they were there, and so he started fighting against them. And Israel calls on God and says, "Lord, if you will deliver this king and these people into our hands, if you will give us victory over these people, we'll utterly destroy them. We'll wipe them off the map, man." And God answers their prayer. God hears their prayer and He answers. And it doesn't say that they were victorious. It doesn't say they fought well and won the battle. The Bible says God delivered them into their hand. God did it. They prayed. God heard. God answered. Delivered them and delivered their enemies into their hands. And the Bible says they did exactly what they said they would do. They utterly destroyed them. So they called on God and said, "God, if you do this, we'll destroy them." God did it. They utterly destroyed them. Basically, what we see here is a big victory, man. We see good things happening. Them, you know, making a vow to God, God delivering, and then them delivering, being faithful to the vow that they've made. And it's a great victory. They've defeated and done exactly what they told God they would do, and God answered their prayer. So things are really looking up. It looks like things, great things are happening. Praise God. Look in verse 4, though. "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." And so I want to preach to you and talk to you a little bit for just a few minutes tonight on what the children of Israel dealing with here is what we will deal with and have dealt with probably many times in our lives, this thing of discouragement. Discouragement. It seems like this time of year, particularly for just the season of the year, it's cold. It's dark a lot. You know, if you're working, it seems like you go into work and it's dark. You get off work and it's dark. It's dark all the time. It's cold. You don't feel like getting out and doing anything. I don't know about y'all, but man, when it's this cold, I promised that I would not complain about the cold weather because I was so miserable this summer. But when it gets this cold, none of us feel like doing anything. I mean, you just want to like hunker down, you know, and try to stay warm. And just kind of all that stuff working together, along with all these spiritual things and spiritual battles that are going on in and around us with just the circumstances in the nation and the world and the election and all that stuff, all the negativity and the things that are going on around us. Boy, it can really be easy in this day, in this time, to be discouraged. And I think all of us at some point or another battle discouragement. And it's for different reasons. I mean, some in our church, some of you here battle health problems. I mean, constant chronic health issues, good days and bad days and constant pain, all that stuff. Boy, that can really discourage you. That can really get you down and get you discouraged because you just, it's like, man, I can't get over this, you know? And so that can really be discouraging. And so, I mean, just various different reasons that we all battle discouragement. I confess to you, this year, I mean, various times through the year, various times being pastor here, many, many times throughout my Christian life, throughout my ministry, there's times I've battled discouragement. And so the human side of us wants good things to happen. The human side of us wants to see results. The human side of us wants to see impact and wants to see the Lord work and see things going the way we want them to go. And whenever they're not, sometimes we can get discouraged. We battle discouragement. And so it is amazing, though, here, just like I pointed out a second ago, in these first three verses, they're seeing great victory. God's answering their prayers. They're committing themselves to God, vowing a vow to God, and said, God, if you deliver them, we'll destroy them. And God answers their prayer, and then they're faithful to do what they said they would do, faithful on their commitment. And so things are really going good spiritually for them. And sometimes we're in that situation too, where it's like we're committed to the Lord. And we're serving the Lord, you know, trying our best to do what we know to do is right and trying to stand for the Lord, be faithful, all those things. Seems like God's answering our prayers as a result of our faithfulness. And all those things just seem like good things are happening. And we're seeing some victory in our life. But just like Israel, I mean, just one verse later, the very next verse after this great victory, suddenly they're greatly discouraged. And the Bible says they're greatly discouraged because of the way. Because of the way. They weren't just greatly discouraged in the way. They were greatly discouraged because of the way. And boy, that's how it happens to us too. The thing is that there are things and circumstances and situations that God's people will battle with discouragement over that the world will not battle with discouragement over. In other words, things just because we are in the way will battle some of these things that other people won't battle. Now, sometimes we do get discouraged in the way, but sometimes we're like God's people here. We get discouraged because of the way. We get discouraged because of what God's got us doing. Because of the situations God's got in, because of the place God's got us in life, because of all these things. That's right where Israel was. And so they were discouraged because of the way. But buddy, it is amazing how quickly sometimes we can shift from victory and being on the mountaintop spiritually to just before the day's even over, it's like we can be discouraged. Isn't it amazing how quickly we can go? I think about sometimes, like, think about great meetings, like, say, the Bible conference or something like that. But it can be such a good conference, and really, man, you get fed, and it seems like God blesses, and God moves, and God's works. And sometimes, man, it can be pretty amazing how quickly that thing can be over, and we can be discouraged. You look back and think, man, why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? We've just come off this mountaintop, so to speak, of a meeting. How is it that I'm discouraged now? But that's just, I don't know, that's just the way it is sometimes. And so, this verse here, verse 4, where it says they were much discouraged because of the way, this verse is really no strange experience to most of us sitting here tonight. And like Israel, we've all at one time or another been discouraged. In fact, probably more often than we'd like to admit, if we would be honest, we're discouraged more often than we, again, like to admit, if we'll just be honest about it. And, you know, the thing is, some people, they, you know, are discouraged more often than others, and some are discouraged, but they just hide it better than others. But the fact is, even the best of us get discouraged sometimes. Look over in Matthew chapter 11. I want to show you a verse over here, and I think me and Brother Ernest were talking about this Sunday, maybe. I can't remember. I was talking to somebody about this recently. But I want you to look in Matthew chapter 11, and I want to read a few verses here and show you something. Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" That John it's talking about there is John the Baptist. Now, I believe, I couldn't necessarily prove this, but just where he's at, he's in prison. He's about to lose his head. But he's in prison, and he sends these, he's hearing kind of what's going on with Christ, and so he sends some of his servants to question Christ, question Jesus, and ask them, "Are you the one we're looking for? You're the one we're waiting for? Are you the Christ? Are you who I think you are, or should I be looking for another?" Just to confirm that, I believe John the Baptist was discouraged at this point in his life. I really do. He was in prison. He was in a low place. Had been preaching, trying to be faithful to God, trying to do what was right, do what he was called to do. And now he's in prison. He's in a low place. And I think he's really just wanting Jesus to just really confirm in his heart that he's going the right way. You ever been there, like, where you just want some confirmation that you're still going the right way? Like, you've been going this way for a while, been going the old paths, but you just get discouraged because you're not seeing the thing. Like God's answered your prayers, or whatever reason, for whatever reason you're discouraged, and it's like, "Lord, just give me some confirmation here. That would really help me." Amen. I think that's where John was. I think he just wanted some comfort. I think he was discouraged. Let's read on through this though. Look at verse 4. It says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? What went ye out there to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." So John's at a place in his life where he's discouraged. He's thinking, man, I'm nothing. I'm washed up. My ministry has come to naught. All my preaching's come to naught. All this time serving God, being faithful to God's come to naught. And it's, you know, and I'm just really, just some confirmation that Jesus is who he says he would just be enough for me at this point, is what he's thinking and feeling about himself. But the whole time, Jesus' opinion of him was that there's not a greater born of woman than John the Baptist. Amen. I'm saying that the best of us, the greatest among us, at times battle discouragement. Now, Israel's discouragement at this point, Numbers 21, it came because Edom, if you dig into the story and read the story, Edom would not let them pass through their nation. It would have made it a lot easier and quicker and got to the promised land a lot sooner had they been able to pass through the land of Edom. But the king and the people would not pass through, therefore they had to go around Edom to get to Canaan. And it made their journey a whole lot longer and a whole lot harder because they had to go around. Now, understandably, this produced a lot of discouragement about their way because of the way that they had to go, because it wasn't the way that they wanted to go, because it obviously, wasn't the easiest way to go. I mean, there's no doubt, no denying that going through Edom would have been a lot quicker, easier route. But that's not the way they could go. And so they understandably got discouraged because of the way that they had to go. Don't we all want to get where we're going, where we know God wants us to be, and where we know we need to be spiritually and all those things? Get to the point in our life where we know we need to be and want to be. Don't we all want to get there the quickest, easiest way? Don't we want to just go straight there? Don't we pray for the quickest, easiest way and quickest, easiest solution to our problems or some problem? Or, don't we pray, Lord, do this so this will happen, because what we want the Lord to do will be the quickest, in our mind, the quickest, easiest solution to what we want to get done. Think about it. No doubt, the Israelites, they were praying. No doubt somebody in Israel was praying, Lord, please touch that king's heart and move his heart that he would be favorable to us and let us pass through his land. Lord, please do that, because that would make things so easy. That'd be the best way to go. And by the way, God could do that. The hearts of kings are in his hand. And so they see the way. They say, Lord, please touch his heart so he can go that way. But did the Lord answer that prayer if they were praying it? Well, no. He didn't. He didn't move his heart, even though he could. And so, no doubt they're praying that, touch Edom's heart so we can pass, but it didn't happen. So, it simply was just not the way that God wanted them to go. And we'll get to why. We'll get to why that was here in just a little bit. But to help us have victory over these times of discouragement that we go through, I want to give you two very important truths right out of this text concerning the discouraging way, whenever we're going a discouraging way. Okay? First of all, the first truth, and very important truth, we need to understand concerning Israel's way they were going here, first of all, is it was God's way. At the end of the day, though they were discouraged by the way, they could be encouraged by the fact that it was still God's way. Now, they could sit back and say, well, God didn't answer my prayer, and God's making things hard on me, and all these things. But at the end of the day, they could still say that they were going the way of God. They were still going the way God wanted to go. They weren't contrary to God's will. They weren't living in opposition to God. They were headed for the promised land according to the command and will of God. They weren't going the way they wanted to go, but they were still in the way headed for the promised land. And so it was God's way. And that in itself can encourage them, and that can encourage us in time of discouragement. That even though things may not be going the way I want them to go, I'm still in God's way. I'm still doing what God wants me to do. So we understand that God's way isn't always a pleasant way. Now, if you ain't figured that out yet, you're going to. God's way isn't always pleasant. It's not always easy. Doing His will is not exempt from trials and hardships. We all know that. One man said, we make a great mistake if we think God's way in this life is always going to be on Jubilation Avenue and Comfort Street. Amen. Listen, we move off Easy Street when we get saved. Amen. Because it's not always easy. And it's not always comfortable. And it's not always mountaintop experiences. And we all know that. It often includes many trials, many difficulties, many temptations, many things that are uncomfortable to this flesh. Living for God produces in that. Now again, remember when we said that they were discouraged because of the way? The world doesn't have to get discouraged over that. They're going the way that everybody else around them is going. Sometimes we get discouraged simply because of the way we're on. That's it. We're going upstream, man. The world don't have to battle that. So we get discouraged because of the way. Now, here's why. We talked about them, you know, the way not being the way God wanted them to go. I think there's two reasons why. And here's why. Because trials and difficulties will always do two things in the life of God's people. First of all, it will strengthen our faith. And a life of ease, it doesn't grow our faith. James chapter 1 deals with that. The trial of your faith worketh patience. Therefore, let patience have her perfect rest. Because the trying of our faith works patience in us. It makes us stronger. It makes us better. It strengthens our faith. And so I believe sometimes the Lord makes us go a different way because He wants to strengthen our faith. But you know, trials and difficulties also do something else. They also purify our character. They strengthen our faith and they purify our character. So now, just like the easy way often hinders the growth of faith, the easy way also often corrupts our character. Man, one of the reasons that our nation's gotten as wicked as it has and has no character is because of the ease that we have had for so long. As a matter of fact, that was one of the indictments against Sodom and Gomorrah, because of their ease, because of all their excess, all their material goods and things, all the bread and all the wine. And I mean, they just had need of nothing, just like the Laodicean church. And so the easy way doesn't purify our character as much as the hard way. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1 dealt with that. Talked about how the trying of your faith, being like gold purified. It takes fire to purify gold. It takes that thing being melted down and passing through the fire. It takes some trials to purify gold, and it takes some trials to purify us. Job 23 verse 10 says, but He knoweth the way that I take. The way that I take. He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. It purifies our character. You would not be the Christian you are today if you hadn't gone through some things in your life. Regardless of how spiritual or unspiritual you are, or how spiritual or unspiritual you think you are, the fact is you still wouldn't be where you are if God hadn't put you through some furnaces and put you through some fires, put you through some trials at some point along the way. So the discouraging way, if you're discouraged tonight, remember you're still in God's way. And if you're not discouraged tonight, remember whenever you do get in the way where you're discouraged, remember that you're still in God's way. It's God's way. So, this way was God's way. Number two, very quickly, not only was it God's way, but it was the good way. It was the good way. Now, from their point of view, it wasn't a good way. From Israel's point of view, they're going the long way. They're going the hard way. They're not going the good way, the straight way, the easy way. They're going the long way around, the difficult way. But as far as God's concerned, it was the good way. Now, this way that they were having to go, though discouraging at times, still, remind you, still led to the promised land. They were still making progress to the promised land. Now, what do we know the promised land to be? A picture and type of? The victorious Christian life. Victorious Christian life. And so it's the long way, the hard way, the difficult way, the discouraging times, the trials and temptations that we go through that get us to the promised land. We're still making progress. So even though the way may be discouraging, it's still a good way in that it's still taking you the right way. Because at the end of the day, you could be going the wrong way. Now, it may not be the way you want to go. It may not be the easiest way. And it may not be the way you think it ought to be, but it's still the good way because you're going the right way. So before any of us, before we condemn a way or before we commend a way, we better know where that way is leading. You better know where that way is going to end. Because there's a lot of ways that seem like they're great, seem like they're easy, seem like they're, you know, fun and pleasurable. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way. There is a way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Boy, it can be easy to look around in days like this and see the world seeming to prosper and seeing religion seeming to prosper, at least on the outside. Outside looking in, it looks like they're prospering. And you look at where you're at and you think, it seems like you're not where you ought to be. Well, listen, don't commend that way without knowing where it ends. Don't commend the way the world and religion and everybody and everything that seems to be prospering. Don't commend that way and be so quick to think the way they're going is better than the way you're going until you know where that way ends. Because there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, the world has many ways that are smooth streets and they're enjoyable environments. Problem is, they don't lead to the promised land. Problem is, they don't lead to the things of God. Instead, the ways of the world lead to a dead end. They are a dead end road. The Bible says they're the ways of death, the ways of destruction. So it may look like the way they're going is a lot easier and a lot smoother than the way we're going, the way you're going right now. And when you're discouraged, the devil jumps on your shoulder and, buddy, he just really digs into that thing. Really, you know, kicks you while you're down. But you just remember where that way is going and you remember the way that you're going. It's still God's way and it's still the good way. Amen? Because we're still making progress to the promised land. See, the world's way leads to a dead end, but God's way leads to life. The good way may be a rugged way, maybe a difficult way, but it's the rewarding way. We can all look around tonight, discouraged or not, we can all still look around and see things in our lives that are a blessing that would not be there had we have not come the way we've come. Had we have not come through the hardships that we've come. We've got things that money will never be able to buy somebody. We've got things that you could work a million lifetimes and never earn some of the things that God has blessed us with. I know some people personally right now that have got some huge, beautiful, multi-million dollar estates and got money for enough money for multiple lifetimes. But they lack some of the most important things in life. Some of the most rewarding things in life. They lack a family that loves them. They lack, you know, a family that's serving God. They lack the blessings of God. They lack peace in their heart. They lack joy. They lack so many things that we have been rewarded with simply because of the way that we are traveling. It may not be an easy way, but it's the good way, buddy. Amen? It leads to life. So don't depart from God's way, because God's way is the good way. God's way is the best way. It doesn't get better. Even though it's hard and discouraging at times, the way that you and me are going, serving God, is the best way that we could ever go. See, at the end of the day, no matter how difficult or discouraged you may be, at the end of the day, you can always pillow your head with the helmet of salvation. And no matter what's going on in your life, you can still say, at least I know I'm saved. At least I know my anchor holds. At least I know it grips a solid rock. At least I know that the way I'm going winds up at the promised land. I may not get there tomorrow. I may not get there next week. May not get there next year. God may be taking me the long way around, the hard way around, but He's doing it to teach me. He's doing it to grow me. He's doing it to make me better. And all these things I'm going through, God is using in my life. And so it's the good way, it's God's way, and I'm still making progress to where God wants me to be. Now I'll read you this verse. It's a verse that we all know, and I'll close. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. The ways. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? The good way. And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. The way that we're going, serving God, walking with God, may not give us a lot of things. May not offer us a lot of things as far as this world is concerned. But I tell you what it will give us. It will give us rest for our souls. And that's something that the world don't have. It's God's way. Listen, if you're discouraged, listen, you remember. And if you're not discouraged, you're going to be. You need to remember this. Even in discouragement. And by the way, I have to preach this by faith. Because I get discouraged too. And I have to remember this. My wife can tell you, I get discouraged sometimes. And I have to remember this. I have to make a conscious effort to lift up that shield of faith and remember, the way I'm going is God's way. The way I'm going is the good way. No matter how discouraging it may be at times, it's God's way and it's the good way. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for helping us with the Word. Lord, I pray for that one that might be here tonight that is discouraged and is battling some discouragement in their life. Lord, I pray for each of us that the ones that may not be discouraged, Lord, I know they will battle it at some point. And so Lord, I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, in times of discouragement, when we're discouraged because of the way, Lord, to remember that the way we're going is God's way, the way we're going is the good way, that it's getting us closer home. It's getting us closer to the promised land, and you're using everything that we're going through, Lord, to help us and to grow us, to make us more like Jesus. And so I thank you for that. And I pray that you'll bless us. Help us now as we leave this place. Give us a good rest of the week. Bring us back safely this Lord's Day and prepare our hearts even now for what you want to do in our lives this coming Sunday when we come to worship. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. For it's in the lovely and precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.